The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I believe that God's given me a message this morning that I think is important. And I'd like you to kind of go with me on this. It's a message for believers. It's not a message for unbelievers. It's not a message to get you saved. I believe as I look at your faces and I know your lives, that you've already given your lives to Christ, that you are His children, that you're the people that God has chosen, that you are recipients of salvation, of grace, of mercy, and living your lives in a way that makes a difference. But I believe that right now we're involved in a great battle for society. And I want this morning, I would like to just do the best that I can. I can't be nearly as eloquent as our pastor. He does such a magnificent job teaching us and caring for us. But I'd like to just present a thought. So if you'll give me a little bit of grace this morning to make up for what he has and I don't have, I would like to try to convey a thought with you. When somebody does something good as a memorable event in society, in history, people set up monuments. I mean, God started all this. When the floods came and covered the earth with Noah, when that whole thing was finished, He put a rainbow in the sky. And He said, let that rainbow remind me and remind you of what sin can do and what my power and my authority is. A lot of us who are married wear rings on our finger to be as a statement, as a memory of a day that happened almost 40 years ago in my life, when the love of my life showed up and at the altar and she said, I do. It's a memory, it's a memorial. We have holidays, July 4th, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, President's Day, all of these things that we remember things that have happened in the past. We name streets after some of our heroes. Sergeant Alfred Drive used to be 3rd Street, but Sergeant Alfred was a hero in our community, and we named a street after him. We have a Martin Luther King Drive here in Slidell. There are many places and many things that we have done in society to remember the past. Even this last week, there was a Medal of Honor awarded to the son of a military veteran whose dad fell on an explosive to save the lives of the people around him. That medal will be a memory. It'll be in the history books of our country. It'll be all of these things for us to remember the good that has gone in the past. But there's another practice in history concerning our heroes and events. The Latin term, the formal term for it, is damnation memorial, memoria, which is Latin for condemning of memory, or we could say is denunciation of our memories, forgetting what's gone by intentionally. You know, it was a practice in the Roman Empire that when a new emperor came and he didn't like what had gone before, the statues that he put up were torn down. If his name was written on the monuments, they would go and they would chisel out the names on the monuments so that the names would never be remembered again, that they would be faded from our memory and to be forgotten. With the fall of communism, we saw it in Albania, where there were many countries where the statues of Stalin and Lenin were taken down and destroyed. You remember that? Streets that were named after them, the names were changed, they called it something else, so that in time, history would forget that they ever existed. Saddam Hussein, if you were watching TV when we invaded Iraq, you saw the statue of Saddam Hussein come down, taking away a memory, taking away the honor that was given in the past, so that we may go a different way today. As Christians, that's happening to us right now. It maybe it started when we took prayer out of the schools, and then the Ten Commandments came down off the walls. When they began to have an effort to silence the name of Jesus, to silence God. And it started there, but it's becoming even more blatant in regular history, the regular things that we deal with. For those of you who read the Denison Forum every day, He had a report this week about something that happened in San Antonio. It was on March the 26th it appeared, and this is what his report said. San Antonio City Council recently voted 6-4 to prevent Chick-fil-A from opening a restaurant in the city's airport. Councilman Robert Trevino, who made the motion to exclude the restaurant, stated, "With this decision, the City Council reaffirms the work of our city has done to become a champion of equality and inclusion. San Antonio is a city full of compassion." Interesting word he took. Full of compassion. "And we do not have room in our public facilities for a business with a legacy of anti-LGBTQ behavior." Chick-fil-A responded and said the press release issued by our councilman was the first we heard of his motion. Not even the courtesy to let him know what they were doing. They read it in the newspaper. And its approval by the San Antonio City Council. "We wish that we had had an opportunity to clarify misconceptions about our companies prior to the vote. We agree that the council members that everyone should feel welcome at Chick-fil-A." The statement added, "In fact, we have welcomed everyone in San Antonio into our 32 local stores for more than 40 years. This is not an isolated event. This is a continuing move to be able to silence those who speak out for the name of Jesus. In other similar events, Chick-fil-A was banned from a university campus in New Jersey. You can't be here. We won't. You're intolerant." We're intolerant? I don't think so. They applied to be a sponsor for a fundraising sporting event, to be a 5K race or something like that in Pennsylvania, and their application to be a sponsor was rejected. "We don't want your money," for the same reason, because Chick-fil-A is not considered to be a place of compassion and love. According to Dennison says this, I have him as my only authority, that no one has ever reported an incident of discrimination against an employee or against a customer of Chick-fil-A, ever. Chick-fil-A is being rejected simply because they profess the name of Jesus Christ and all that he stands for. This is not a new scenario for Christians to be silenced. To Christians to be saying, you may not do that again. It goes all the way back to the beginning in Acts chapter 3 and 4, particularly I want to mention this morning. Our buddies Peter and John in chapter 3 encountered a crippled man at the man had been crippled since birth, at the Gate Beautiful. They were minding their own business. They were going to prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they were walking down the street, there was a man begging for alms. That's how he supported himself. He begged. And the apostle said, Peter said, he said, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have." And he prayed for him, and he grabbed him by the hand, and the man jumped up. And a man who had been crippled for life was running through the temple and jumping up and praising God and said, "I'm healed, I'm healed. I can walk for the first time ever. I can stand and look you in the eye. I'm not looking up at you, but I'm looking you in the eye as man to man because Jesus touched me this morning." Or this afternoon, as it turned out. Peter and John started talking to the crowd. They said, "It's not us, guys. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Lord and Savior that you crucified, that God raised from the dead. This is the one who healed this man. And let me tell you how you can know Jesus." And they just went from there, and they were talking inside the temple, inside the synagogue. They were talking to the people there, and they were saying, "Jesus did it. He's our source. He's our life. He's everything we want in life. And you can have him too. You can be converted. You can repent of your sins and become a follower of Jesus Christ." We move on to chapter 4. And it begins by saying, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They took him off the street. They took him off the street, and it was late in the afternoon. They were going to 3 o'clock prayer, and I assume this has been going on for a little bit till they knew about it. It was getting about dark. So what they did, they just took him off the street, took him to jail. Put him in jail. They spent the night in a rat-infested, moldy, damp, cold place. They spent the night because they had been preaching the name of Jesus. They said the next morning they got up early and they went in to see the religious rulers. The council of all the rulers and the elders and teachers of religious law in Jerusalem was seated in a council. And they were asked to explain by whose authority they healed this man at the Gate Beautiful. And Peter spoke up. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, this beginning in verse 8 in chapter 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for this crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly explain this to you guys." And he stated to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God has raised from the dead. Peter spoke with courage and conviction. He spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit, standing up before the religious leaders of the whole country and the whole of Jerusalem where he was. And his Sadducees didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want, because they disagreed with him, they silenced him. But yet, they looked at the people. And the people were so excited. The people were there supporting him and says, "What could this man do bad? He raised up our friend. He was leaping and jumping and praising God and giving God the glory, taking no glory for themselves, but giving God the glory this whole time." They were also amazed at Peter and John. And this is a side message for you and I. It says in verse 13, it says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, as if to say, 'How dare you speak to us this way?' For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training." It's training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Here's the side message. That's you and I. We're ordinary men and women without special training, but who have been with Jesus. People who God has touched our lives. We have a testimony. We have a story to tell. You can't take my story from me. Peter and John, you can't take their story from them and for what happened. The man jumping in a temple, you can't take his story away. But they were just ordinary men. So this message this morning is not for the high priest. It's not for the people of power and influence. It's for you and I. It's for the normal men and women of life who would have the courage by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak out, to be able to call, to be able to denounce the things that need to be denounced, to be able to stand up for God and for the things that we need to stand up for. The discussion at that point was, how do we punish them? They put them aside. They went on the side. How do we punish them? Look how excited the people are about what they've done. And yet, we have to do something. We have to silence them. They cannot be allowed to continue to speak. We have to silence them. They came back in the room and said, "We must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. We must tell them that you may not speak in the name of Jesus again, that you may not speak healing into people's lives, that you may not bring words of refreshment and hope. You may not do that." We have to convey that message. So they call the apostles back in, and they commanded them to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. I see great parallels between what happened 2,000 years ago and what was reported on March the 26th between Chick-fil-A. The battle goes on. You may not speak in the name of Jesus. They are trying to silence us, but trying to make things go away that God has put in place. This is the battle of the enemy. This is his strategy for right now. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the spiritual things of this life. And we need to understand that at this point in time, we need to stand up for the kingdom of God. There are things happening today that we need to be viable and credible and strong witnesses to the love of Christ. We need to be like the apostles, going about our normal daily lives. We need to look for opportunities to speak into people's lives. Peter and John were just minding their business on the way to church. They were just walking along, doing what people do, going through your normal life, and all of a sudden an opportunity presents itself. And the opportunity was a man that they saw who was begging for help. I need help. I need something. And in my small little mind, says the crippled man, I just need an alm so I can buy a loaf of bread, so I can buy something to put in my stomach. This is what I need. And they came along and they saw something greater than a man leaping, than a man, a crippled man. They saw an opportunity. And I'm ashamed to tell you, and maybe it's happened to you too, but I'm ashamed to tell you that sometimes people have come to me asking for help. People I didn't know. Hey, buddy, can you spare a buck? And I said, no, I can't help you. People want taking up an offering for something special that's important and say, no, I can't help you with that. I need to take care of me. But Peter and John looked for opportunities as they went through their normal course of life. People that they work with, people that they met along the way, people that in the doctor's office, people in the pharmacy. I guess I'm getting old. I'm thinking in doctor's office and pharmacies. But people along the way that we encounter and meet, that we need to be, as Peter and John were, looking for opportunities to be able to speak into people's lives the living gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I said this is not a message for newbies. This is a message for devoted followers of Jesus Christ. What do we need to be doing? Protect your salvation, but more than that, every day, every hour, every place we go, we need to be living for Jesus Christ. Take a look at Chick-fil-A and see if God provides. We go to Chick-fil-A almost every Saturday morning with our family. It's kind of our family get-together. Trey and his wife and the kids show up, the grandkids, and they play in the playground over there. And Denise and I and Annie and her husband all sit around a table, and we talk, hey, what you doing this week? What happened? Blah, blah, blah. I look outside. There's a string of cars around Chick-fil-A. People sitting in line, 20 cars maybe, waiting to eat. The dining room is full. I look up at the side, and there's a place for the waiter. You know the waiter where they deliver your food to you? You call up and you order it, and these guys come and they bring it to your house. And there's other people who have ordered theirs on the internet as well, and they're waiting to pick up their order. God takes care of those who stand up for his business. Chick-fil-A today grosses more money than Wendy's and Burger King put together. And all they do is love people. They stand up for religious freedom. When our religious freedom is being attacked, they stand up and they say, no, you can't do that. In the same way that the apostles said, no, you can't do that. Because they continue to live a life. Somebody says, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. Okay. Then they went somewhere else and talked about Jesus. Did they do it without sacrifice? Did they do it without difficulty? No, they had their share of difficulties. But they had an outward focus. They were looking for opportunities to be able to say, you will not silence me. You will not tell me I cannot speak the name of Jesus. You will not tell me that when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to tell you to your face I'm going to do it. Belligerent? No. Out of love and compassion, but just standing your ground. God blesses so that through the ministry, these two men were healed. Peter and John didn't have anything to do with it except to be willing vessels. God did it. You know, we look at ourselves and we're just ordinary people without any special training and teaching in the scriptures. We're just ordinary people. And as we go through, God will empower us in the same way that He empowers Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby and Auntie Anne's Pretzels. That's a Christian lady. And they use their profits in the business to be able to support the good works of God. They don't keep it all to themselves. They're putting it out there and to be able to continue to say, yeah, you're going to silence me, right? They may tell Chick-fil-A, you can't sell your chicken in the airport. But I tell you what, they can't stop the name of Jesus from going out. They are following. And we need to do the same thing. They were told to abandon the names of Jesus and make Him go away. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be able to say, I am not going to stand up for the name of Jesus? If you tell me to do it, I'm going to be perfectly obedient. I'm going to sit there and not speak. Can't happen. Cannot happen. Does that mean we won't have difficulty? I don't know. In the first century, the apostles had their troubles. I recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said these things. This is a man who refused to be silent. He said, I know I sound like a madman. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped time without number, and faced death again and again. 5 times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. They considered 40 to be a death sentence. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. That should be enough to kill you right there. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on as many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I faced dangers from my own people, like the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the desert, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. Have you met any of those? I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without sleep. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. This was Paul's reality. This doesn't mean that we've been called to suffer these difficulties, to be stoned. But sometimes we have been stoned. Sticks and stones. That people have spoken against us. That people have disrespected us. How often do you see in the movies, you see a Christian, Unplanned is a different story, but how often you see in the stories that in the movies that Christians are displayed as weak, as ineffective, as stupid? How often do you see those things? That's persecution. That's telling us that if you tell people about Jesus, if you tell Him what He can do in their lives, you're going to be disrespected. You want to be disrespected? You don't want to have any friends? You keep talking about Jesus. Paul experienced it in a very physical way, and maybe that was just God's way of giving us courage to be able to say, you haven't had it near the trouble he had. But yet, he was faithful to the very end. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That was the word he was waiting to hear, was the Lord and Savior said, well done. When you read his letters to Timothy, his young disciple, you see nothing but uplifting and encouraging stories about what he needs to do to live the life. All of these physical areas did not slow Paul down. They, if anything, speeded him up and gave him the confidence to know. Should we not follow that? Should we not be able to stand up and say, we will not be silenced? You've got your salvation. You're going to heaven. I look at your eyes. I know your testimonies. I know your stories. I'm going to see you in heaven. We're going to be walking streets of gold together. I don't know what they're going to eat in heaven, but boy, it's going to be good. It will not be fattening, and it will not hurt my cholesterol a bit. I want to tell you that heaven's going to be a blast, and we're going to be there. I'm not talking about that. What I am saying is that we got a job to do right now. that there are people who are trying to silence Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we got to pick it up and run with it. How did they fight these things? You know, I think when Paul got up in the morning, full of Jesus Christ, and looking again for the opportunities. They were, again, no special men. They were no ordinary men with special training. But there was something special about him. It says when Peter spoke to the council, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's take this as we kind of wind this up. This is your short day preaching. But we can rerun it, dead recording it, if you want to start it over. We can just rerun this in a few minutes. The Scripture tells us to put on the armor of God that we might stand against the strategies of the devil. What is the strategy of the devil for today? Silencing us. Shutting your mouth. Making you irrelevant. Making you totally ineffective. That's the strategy of the devil today. You can see it in the news. You can read it in the Scriptures. It's what's happening today. And we will not be silenced. But how do you prepare yourself? And we put on the script, we put on the full armor of God. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have the reference. In Ephesians chapter 6 somewhere, right near the end, beginning in 13. He said, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. When you wake up in the morning, put on the armor before you get out the house. Make sure you're prepared to be able not to be silenced, not to be silenced for that day. Do I think you're going to lose your salvation that day? No, I don't think so. I know you're rooted, you're grounded in Jesus Christ, but you've got a better job to do, a bigger job to do. And that bigger job to do is to resist the enemy and his strategies, because that strategy is to silence all believers. Verse 14 says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and bodily armor in God's righteousness. Be the righteousness of God. Live a holy life. People are looking at you. Your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, the people in the store. We need to be examples. You're already living for yourself. You have your prayer time. You have your quiet time. You're reading the Scriptures. You're doing what you need to do to maintain your salvation. But there's a bigger picture. And I want to call you to holiness. The Scripture says the first part, the very first part of the armor of God is His righteousness. You're not righteous. Ain't nothing about you that's going to get to heaven without the blood of the Lamb, without the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Put Him on you. Be consciously aware that God, give me the strength today. Give me the covering today. Give me the words today to say, so that when I go out into the community, Lord, Your holiness, Your righteousness might shine through who I am. He goes on from there. He said, for your shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you be fully prepared. Step out in confidence. Get out the house. Get out the comfort zone. Wherever you're going today, wherever you take today, wherever your feet lead you, may they lead you in places of peace. Does that mean there won't be conflict? No, it just means you're going to be the victor. You're going to be, it's your peace. It's His peace through you. And we need to step out. We can't just be satisfied to consume it all for me. There's a bigger purpose. When the Scripture says that you have, God has put a purpose in your heart. Each has a plan for your life. Each one of us has a different plan and a different purpose. But we need to step out. And that's what the gospel, the shod your feet in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that foot take you where you need to be that day. If you need to change your job to go someplace else, let Him do it. If He needs to take you to a new place to shop or a new place to do your things in life, let Him do it. If it needs to take you to a relative's house that needs to have the comfort and the peace of Jesus Christ, even though they may not be your favorite relative, let your feet take you there. Amen? He goes on. He said, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. There's going to be opposition. Chick-fil-A sees it. The opposition in San Antonio came in the form of the city government. The opposition to Chick-fil-A came in New Jersey, where they were thrown off the campus, came in Pennsylvania. The enemy will fire darts at you, tending to immobilize you. But you know what? You've been given the shield of faith. That I believe, I am convinced, you're not going to change my mind. I know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I know that nothing that the enemy has against me will stand, because I stand in that. I stand in this confidence of knowing the shield of faith will protect me. The enemy says, Bob, you don't know nothing. I said, well, that may be, but I got the Holy Spirit. They said, you've done too many things in your life that you should be ashamed of. I said, you know I'm right. But you know, you're right about that. But you know what? I've been forgiven. I confess those sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He forgave me. Is that my reality? Yeah, that's my reality. I did all that stuff. But let me tell you, Satan, I stand in the faith, and I believe that Jesus Christ has saved me from that and defends me from all that. So I walk in confidence. I walk in strength, and we all need to walk in a confidence of strength, not who we feel like we are, but who the Word says that we are. And it said, put on the salvation as your helmet. And that, again, is confidence in your faith. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know who I'm a child of God. He saved me. He loves me. He cares for me. And that protects my mind. So that when an enemy tries to put trash in my mind and put things in my mind that don't belong there, my salvation says, I am saved from all of that. I am healthy, I am strong, and I am all that God would have me to be. Am I 77 years old? You got it. Am I dead? Uh-uh. I have life, I have breath, I'm going ahead. And that's our stand, because we need to not be silenced. Are you willing to be silenced? Are you willing to be able to say, thank you, Lord, appreciate everything you did, I'm going to sit here in my little cocoon and never say anything to you again? I'm not going to tell people what you've done. I'm going to let the enemy run right over it. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Fight with the Word of God. We need to read our Scriptures and know what they say and know who we are in Christ and know who Christ says that we are. What's my weapon? My weapon is the sword of the faith, sword of faith. The Word of God, to be able to speak the Word of God in all situations. Your brain isn't smart enough to come up with arguments that the city council would say, well, we're people of compassion. We are welcome equality for everyone. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to say the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is love, and God has saved us, and we welcome everyone. Do we condemn people? No. There are people who would call us haters. People who would say that we hate people because we exclude them. I don't hate anybody. I love you enough to tell you the truth about what God said. It's up to you to decide whether you're going to believe what He said. I'm going to speak the truth. And that comes from the Word of God. It's the only thing we've got. There may be personal revelation from God about your life and what you need to do, about where you need to put your feet. But there won't be anything that's contradictory to what the Word of God says. Live it out, work it out, do what it says. And finally, verse 18, he says, perhaps the most important thing. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Max Lucado said, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not the one who says it. The power of your prayer is in God hearing what you have to say. Pray in the Spirit. Let your spirit commune with the Spirit of God at all times and all occasions. You don't have to save up and say, okay, this is a tough one. I think I'll pray about this one. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, that's when you need to start praying. Lord, what would you have me do? I hear a siren going down the street. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I want you to bless and help those people. And if I can do something and be a blessing, let me know. I want to be a part of it. Lord, I see the people who are here. Let me pray for them. And if there's something I need to be doing, let me know what it is I need to be doing. At all times, if you're not, Jesus said, the only things I do are the things I see the Father do. The only things we need to be doing is the things that Jesus encourages and tells us to do. Amen? And finally, the second part of that says, be alert and persistent. I've talked to you quite a bit about alert, just to be aware of the circumstances. But let me talk to you about persistence. How many of you know that the first time you try something, it may not work? How many times you have asked people to accept Jesus Christ and they walk away from you? How many times have you asked for God for something and just wasn't sure what was going to happen? Keep asking. Be persistent until the day you die, until you close your eyes in this life and open your eyes staring in the face of Jesus. That's how long we must endure. As long as He gives us life, God expects us to be His children. There comes no time that I can sign off and say, I'm not my daddy's child. I honor my daddy. I love my daddy. My daddy's in heaven with Jesus right now. He's been there for quite a while. I guess he's got his own place, probably has a garden in the back and a tool shed, no doubt, with a messy desk. But he's always my daddy. I remember him and I love him and I respect that which he's given me. As long as you have life, as long as you have breath, as long as you're alive in this world, you are a child of God. Be persistent in your prayers. Be persistent in your actions. Don't give up. Because you couldn't do it today doesn't mean you won't be able to do it tomorrow. How many times have you done something and it just didn't work, and then all of a sudden it did work? Yeah. It's like exercising. I started exercising again recently. 5 minutes on the exercise bike and I'm gone. And now I'm up to more than that. Six, 7 minutes now. I can go 30 minutes on that, baby. At the beginning, I couldn't do five, but I was persistent. Five was, if I could do five, I did five. And then when I could do 10, I was so happy, and I thought I'd conquered the world. And then there was 15. And then there was 20. I want to tell you right now that our persistence in doing the things that we should be doing will help us to accomplish all that God has for us. Because it didn't work today doesn't mean it won't work tomorrow. It may not be the right time today. It may not be God's timing today. The burden may be on our heart, but it may not be the right time. You just stay with it until God says, yep, that's the right time, Bob. That's your time. And then when you close your eyes in this life, that's when you're finished. So the word says in verse 18 of this chapter 6, it says, stay alert. And be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Those who call Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are with us. Whether they're in Albania or Europe or the Middle East or Asia, whether they're in South America or Mexico, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to be praying that they too will have the courage not to be silent. We need to be vocal. We need to be strong. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we can. The battle continues. There are those who would shut us down. There were those who would silence us today and said, you've said enough. But we need not to be silent. I need to be silent now because that's all God told me to tell you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for the divine inspiration, Lord, that you give to each one of us. Lord, help us to be holy people for your sake. Help us, Lord, to be godly people for your sake. Help us, Lord, to be confident in our salvation and confident in the gifts that you've given us. Help us, Lord, not to get weary. Help us, Lord, not to give up along the way. Just because it didn't happen today, it doesn't mean it won't happen tomorrow. Lord, help each one of us in our own special place in your kingdom not to be silenced, not to be put to the side, but to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly as ordinary men and women with no special training in the word, but let people recognize, as it was for Peter and John, that we've been with Jesus. It's by your power and by your strength, Lord, that we reach out today. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray that the things that are of you this morning would be stuck in our memory and our heart, and the things that were just frivolous, Lord, that they would just fall away. For our hope and our plan and our desires to serve you and to be vessels of your love. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I can pray with you, if I can speak to you, if there's something I can do to Mars said to fill in, I can't fill in for Mars, but I can give you what Bob's got. If there's something I can do for you this morning, please go. I'll hang around up here for a minute. Amen?
Amen.
Have a blessed week. We'll see you next Sunday, Lord willing.